lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles, but though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been throughly made manifest among you in all things. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself, that ye might be exalted, because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely? I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Wherefore, because I love you not, God knoweth. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. That's a pretty heavy statement there. You know, my end is not going to be according to my works. My end is going to be according to the works of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord for that. But I want to look at some things as we look back through these verses and see what Paul, some things that he was getting at. In verse number 2 it says, "For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." Now I understand that in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed. We're going to be changed like that. You know, he talks about the rapture. If you really look at that verse, and what it's talking about is we're going to be changed like that. But I want to talk about surrendering to God's will, and that's what Paul, he's talking about here. He's talking about presenting them as a chaste virgin to Christ, and what we need to realize, and one of the things that we mentioned earlier about, it's not just about salvation, and it's not about, definitely not about conforming to the world or conforming to religion or conforming to the traditions of man. It's about being transformed by the renewing of your mind, and the renewing of your mind, and the only way you're going to have truly have the mind of Christ is by reading and studying and rightly dividing the Word of Truth, God's Word. So the surrendering to God's will, that's an important thing, and that's something Paul was always encouraging people, directly and indirectly, to do, was surrender to God's will and not get caught up in the things of the world. So the first thing I want to talk about for just a moment is that surrendering. How do you surrender? Well, you know, one way you can do it is you surrender to a prayer life. Amen? I really believe this. The Bible, it's not hard to sit down and read the Bible. It's hard to meditate and study and read the Bible and be serious about the Bible sometimes. But I think the hardest thing in the world for a saved person to do is pray. I think the most opposition you get, I mean, you can open the Bible and read it and good night. If you're not praying about it and you don't know how to rightly divide it, the devil can take you down all kinds of crazy roads. And using the Word of God to do it. And using your lack of understanding to do it. But boy, to get on your knees and pray, and I thank God we can go boldly to the throne of grace, but if you could just surrender to a prayer life and not say, "Lord, every morning at 8:15, from 8:15 to 8:17, I'm going to pray." I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about being instant in season and out of season with prayer. I'm talking about pray without ceasing. I'm not saying you have to be on your face or in your prayer closet 24/7, but you ought to be able to, you drive down the highway. My wife knows this. She rides with me. She prays when we drive. Amen. Teach me to pray. Amen. But you ought to be able to instantly get a hold of God anytime and say, "Lord, help me." You ought to be able to praise God anytime. Amen. My wife's got the best praiser I've ever... she's got a good praiser installed. If we get within 40 yards of Walmart in the parking space, she's praising the Lord. And we leave Walmart, I'm praising the Lord. Amen. But the thing is, you ought to have the ability to get a hold of God and just surrender to that. And surrender to reading the Word of God. And I'll tell you, I understand our heart should be right, but you ought to make it a habit just to keep it a habit even when you don't want it to be a habit. Amen? Because it's the Word of God. Sometimes you have to pray and ask God to help you get your heart right so you can even be right. Amen? But you ought to have a habit of prayer. You ought to be a habit of being instant in season, out of season with the Word of God. You ought to have a habit of being able to go boldly to the throne of grace no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, praising God. You ought to be able to have a habit of reading the Bible and say, you know what, I got a lot of things going on today, but I'm reading that book. And maybe 10 chapters, maybe 10 verses, maybe 5 minutes, I don't know. But you dedicate yourself to reading the Word. I know I've got a lot of folks here that are dedicated to reading their Bible. Praise the Lord for that. There are folks that couldn't be here today. Talking about folks that are having really rough issues right now, going through some tough times. But you know what they've done over the last several years? They've read their Bible together and prayed together. And what they were doing, they were investing in the future. Because now they're in this valley and they have Scripture invested in their heart, in their lives, in their eternity. I'm telling you, the surrendering to God's will, God wants you to be more like Jesus Christ now. I know the Baptists are like, a lot of Baptists are like, well, we're going to be changed. We'll be just like Jesus. Well, you know what? God wants you to be more like Jesus now. And I'm not talking about this made-up Jesus. I'm talking about finding out what you can about Jesus Christ and understanding what the Bible says about Jesus Christ and understanding that Jesus Christ, yes, God is love and God is judgment. Our God's a consuming fire. But this Bible talks about Jesus Christ, and when you read the verse, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. I mean, really pray about and think about what you're reading. Because if you want to find a definition for love, and I'm not against the 1828 Webster's Dictionary, but you're going to find it in Jesus Christ. You're going to find it in Jesus Christ. We've got a bunch of people out here talking about a country without a Bible. We talk about churches without Bibles. We talk about saved families without Bibles. I mean, they might have them, but I'm not talking about just owning them and possessing them. If you have a car at home, but you walk to church, that car didn't do you any good. Probably walking to church does some good, amen? Especially when you're having cookies and coffee. But if you don't open the Bible and read the Bible and apply the Bible, it doesn't do you any good. We have Bibles all over the place. Can't read them all at once. But the interesting thing is, if I'm walking through the living room and a verse comes to my head, I can reach over and pick one up. The Lord's almost made me a no-excuse Bible believer. I can just, there's one right there, pick it up. So I can't say, well, I didn't have access to the Word of God. And you can't say that either. You have access to the Word of God. And like this brother was mentioning earlier, we take it for granted. Now, I fully believe that we're getting out of here soon. But what if they let you keep your firearms and took your Bible? Think about that. Surrendering to God's will. You know what the Bible says? This Bible right here. Study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You want to surrender God's will? Study His Word. Study His Word. Steve, check me out. Amen? Amen. Even my kids check me out. See if I'm telling them. They'll read their Bible. You know what they're going to find out? There's some really basic Bible doctrine that a lot of people don't understand that Dad wasn't lying to them about. Amen? Jesus Christ says, search the Scriptures. Friend, if you think you have eternal life, and there they was testify of me. Surrendering to God's will. Look at verse 3. But I fear lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. The subtlety of the serpent. Now, we're going to get a little further into this later, Lord willing, but what I want to talk about is the subtlety of the serpent. We're looking for this grand act, this grand evil outward act. And the devil doesn't always attack that way. Matter of fact, very seldom does he attack that way. Usually it's a subtle attack. Well, you know, you can pray later. or maybe, oh, you read the Bible earlier, you don't need to read it now. You've been reading my mail. I don't watch football. But maybe, and I know I'm preaching to folks here that understand this better than I do, but maybe you got aches and pains today, and it'd just sure be nice to stay home, stay in bed, listen to some preaching on something, you know, taped or televised. Please don't do that. But anyway, you have those excuses. You could make a valid argument that you should stay home, and there are a lot of folks here that could make that argument, and I'm sure when they do and when they have to, God understands that because it's a physical situation. You can't get around some of these things. But maybe the devil says, you know, you got to... You bumped your leg and it hurts and you should... I mean, you know the thing, he's subtle about this. And then you miss church. And I believe one of these days you're going to get to heaven and you're going to say, Lord, I'm sorry about this, this, and this. And he's going to say, yeah. And you know that Balaam's donkey you had for a preacher, I gave him a message the day that you should have been there, that you weren't, that would have helped you get through that and past that and beyond that. But the devil doesn't come to you necessarily like a... an outwardly, openly, obvious attack. It's the subtle thing. It's the subtle things. Look at the last part of this verse. Let's read the whole verse again. But I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Now, I am not into this easy believism stuff where anybody that believes Jesus Christ ever existed is saved. I don't believe that. I believe there's repentance involved in salvation. I believe you realize you're guilty and you cry out to God because you believe He died, was buried, and rose again and shed His blood for you. I believe that. But I also believe there's a simplicity that's in Christ that is overlooked. Amen? You know what the thief on the cross took advantage of? The simplicity in Christ. You know what he didn't do? He didn't say, Lord, if you just get me off here, I'd join the Baptist church and I'd be all right. Lord, if you just get me down, I'd go down to the Church of Christ and they could baptize me in their special fluorinated water and then I'd be all right. Amen? He didn't say, if you just took me down to Jehovah's Witnesses, I could become part of the kingdom. If you would just do this or that or the other. You know what he said? Lord, remember me. You know what he did? He turned to the Lord and called on the Lord. And a simple fact is, the only thing you can do, the only thing you need to do to get to heaven is trust the death, burial, and resurrection. That Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, I know I believe calling on him don't save you. Jesus saves you. But I believe if you're true to your repentant heart, and you'll call on Christ and ask Him to forgive you. I believe that. But there's a simplicity in Christ after salvation. I think we overcomplicate things. And I'm not saying that to cheapen Christianity or try to cheapen the Word of God or cheapen anybody's ministry or anything like that. I'm saying I think we overcomplicate things. And I'm not just talking about spiritual things. I think our lives are so overcomplicated that we miss the simple things, the good things, the holy things, the true things, the right things, the things that God wants for you to have. And, you know, I think, you know, especially in America, probably America's blessing is a curse sometimes because the blessings of America, we have people that, you know, that I need a $100,000 job and she needs a $100,000 job. We need $200,000 worth of income. And we need somebody, the school system, to raise our children because we don't have time now, but we're going to give our kids all this nice stuff. I mean, they're going to have all this stuff. They're going to have more stuff than anybody in the world has because we're going to raise our kids right. And truth is, the simplicity in Christ would say, look, the man is the breadwinner. There's nothing wrong with a woman working. But there's something seriously wrong with saying we need $200,000. And you go around and have a $600,000 house and you have a $2,500 house payment, a $1,500 car payment, a $200 a month car insurance payment, a $300 a month house insurance payment, and no Bible. Well, my kids, they're not going to suffer like I suffered. They're going to suffer worse than you suffered if you don't give them the Lord Jesus Christ and if you don't lead them through the Word of God. Say, well, they had all this stuff, though. They had every opportunity. But you're missing the simple opportunity that God was giving them to know Christ, not just as their Savior, but as their friend. Amen. America, amen, we got to have stuff. The most important thing you'll ever have in your house is right here. The most important thing you'll ever have in your life after salvation is right here. It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. There's some simple things. You know, if you are completely broke, and I'm not saying you have to be broke to be in God's will, but I'm just telling you a fact right here. If you are completely broke, and you love the Lord Jesus Christ, and you pray with your family, and you read the Bible with your family, you are rich. And God's pleased with that. If you have everything that a man could ever, a woman could ever imagine, all the worldly stuff and all the carnal things, and you've got a $2 million mansion, and you've got a Jaguar and a Bentley and all this stuff, and oh, you guys, you got every gun known to man, you know, you got a Barrett 50, and some of you are drooling right now. You got a Barrett 50, you got a 1911, you got this, that, or the other, and you got all this stuff, and you got, boy, you got a lawyer on retainer, and you got, everything's just set. So if anything goes wrong, you've got a fail-safe, and you're missing the Word of God, you have no fail-safe. True riches don't come from having the things of this world. True riches come from having a walk with Jesus Christ. Some of the most miserable people that ever existed in mankind's history had all kinds of stuff. And some of the happiest people had none of the worldly garbage, but they had Jesus Christ. You say, well, I just don't understand how some of these missionaries can leave everything they have and go out and go to a foreign country and leave their families, leave their homes, leave their cars, sell their houses, quit their businesses, do all this stuff. I don't know how they do that. I'll tell you how they do that. They found out where true treasure lies. It lies in a heart that's focused on Jesus Christ. See, in a way, we've got it really bad in America because we have so much stuff. And I, you know, my wife and I talk about this, you know, can you believe America whips $6 a jar? But you know what? Can you believe some people can't go to Walmart and pick up a jar of America Whip? And I'm not saying Walmart's a great thing, but some people don't have a Walmart. But some people get so caught up, and I'm not talking about lost people. Lost people do what lost people do. I'm talking about born-again believers that miss the simplicity in Christ. You know what Christ wants you to do? It's simple. Follow Him. It is the Spirit that quickeneth the flesh, profiteth nothing. Jesus Christ said, the words I speak in you, they are spirit and they are life. Follow the book. Get in the book. Get the book in you. And learn how to walk with Jesus Christ. Amen? Simplicity in Christ. Look at verse 4. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, and we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, you have not received, or another gospel that you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. He's talking about standing in the battle. And you know, the battle, we look at the battle, we're thinking, the battle is between Trump and Biden. No. No, 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 that's a diversion. You know what the battle is between? The battle is between good and evil. I don't want to get too far into this because I want to wrap the message up with this later, but talking about the subtlety of the devil, if you notice in verse number 4, it says, there, for if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus. It doesn't say if the atheists show up at your house. It doesn't say if Jehovah's Witnesses show up. It doesn't say necessarily the Mormons or the Catholics or the Baptists. It says if he comes to you and preaches another Jesus. It's not talking about if the evolutionist shows up. If the agnostic shows up, you know what it says? It's somebody that claims Jesus, claims the name of Christ, but they don't know Him. And they've got another Jesus. I listed a couple folks that have another Jesus. The Jehovah's Witnesses, they have another Jesus. And if you talk to them long enough, you're going to find out they have another spirit. And they've believed another gospel. That gospel has nothing to do with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, by the way. Their good news in their mind is that they're going to do enough to get into this kingdom. Well, that's not good news. I have a Bible. You know what the good news is? I can't do enough. The only thing I can do is turn to the only one that could do everything I needed Him to do and call on Him. So hooked to the subtlety of the devil is the fact that you are not going to be taken off course necessarily by Charles Darwin or some of these devil worshipers or atheists or agnostics or whatever. You'd be taken off course if you're not careful by people that claim the name of Christ. Look at 5 and 6. Paul says, "For I suppose I was not a whit behind in the very chiefest apostles, though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge. But we have been throughly made manifest among you in all things." The steadying of your faith. You know what steadies your faith? Knowledge from God. Knowledge of His Word. Now, I know, I don't worship the Baptist. I am a Baptist. I believe what Baptists believed 100 years ago. Not what a lot of them believe now, but I believe what they believed 100 years ago. I believe the book. I believe rightly dividing the book's important. And I believe we're getting out of here soon. But I also believe that it's not a denomination that directs your walk. It's solid Bible doctrine and Bible knowledge that directs your walk. You can go to a Baptist church right now and just as goofed up as you were in a Lutheran church or whatever. What you need to do is go to your Bible and read your Bible. Because to stand in the faith and be steady in the faith, you're going to have knowledge of the Bible. You know what the Bible says? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So they won't be able to trick you with another Jesus or get you to follow another spirit or trick you into another gospel if you are studying the Word of God, reading the Word of God, meditating on the Word of God, praying about the Word of God. Say, "Lord, show me. Make this personal." The reason we just studied a long haul through Revelation, amen. The reason we went through Revelation, I think it was God timed it, because everything that's going on in the world right now, and everybody's dating the rapture, everybody's saying there is no rapture. There are people out there saying we're going through the tribulation, we're going halfway through the tribulation, there is no millennial reign, there is no this, there is no that. I'm showing you from the Word of God. If you argue with the Word of God, that's between you and Him, but I'm not going to come in here and tell you we don't have any of those answers, because we do. We do. We don't have to talk to somebody on or listen to somebody on YouTube to tell us what the Bible says. We have a Bible. Amen? You don't have to believe everything I believe. I'll tell you some things. I'm not sure about this. It looks like that. You could believe something totally different. But you better believe this. God gave you that book so you could increase your faith and not be blown around, thrown around by every wind of doctrine. What if Biden, Harris, what if Harris gets in? What if Trump don't get in? What if Trump does get in? What if you don't read your Bible? So how did we get in this mess? They threw the Bible away. Like what the old preachers say, you know, they take them from them in grade school and give them back to them in prison. Something wrong with that. Something wrong with that. Steadying of your faith. 7 through 9. I won't read it all through here. I'll read it. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that ye might be exalted because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely? I robbed of the churches, taking wages of them to do you service. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you. So will I keep myself. Want to see the service of the preacher. You know what Paul said? This is what he was saying. And I understand the words. I understand talking about he was getting help from other churches. He wasn't a burden to that church. But you know what Paul was saying? His focus was on eternal truth, not earthly treasure. You know, when you're talking to somebody about Jesus Christ, they know where your focus is. So people just don't get saved like they used to, because saved people don't live like they used to. Saved people don't walk like they used to with Jesus Christ. Amen. There's a big difference when going up somebody, and look, I'm all for it. If you've got a tract in your pocket and God says give him a tract, doesn't matter what mood you're in, where your heart's at, do what the Lord says to do. But there's a big difference in going up to somebody and say, "Hey, tell you about Jesus." And say, "Hey, has anybody ever talked to you about your soul? And meaning it?" You know why I think that's missing? Preachers, so-called. Pastors, so-called. Scholars, so-called. have tried to explain away and calm down the flames of hell. You know what it talks about Lazarus and the rich man? That man is still burning. You know your neighbor that's without Christ that you're afraid to talk to? If they go to hell, they'll still be burning. And we know because we have a Bible, and we just went through this in Revelation, we have knowledge of the Word of God, that hell is not a temporary thing where you're annihilated and it's over with, because the beast and the false prophet are cast into a lake of fire. 1,000 years later, they're still there when the devil gets thrown in. But if you don't know your Bible, and I say, well, we went through a lot of stuff and we don't understand a lot of stuff, but you understand some stuff that will keep you out of trouble now. Just knowing that will keep you out of some messes. Because there are people out there that are smarter than I am, that have more education than I do, that will come up to you and impress you with their piece of paper and say, there is no hell because in the originals it meant this. And they won't tell you they were using some perverted manuscript. You won't even know if they're telling the truth. But in the originals it meant this. And it was the city dump, and it was a place, it's the grave, and it's this. And after a while, you're like, well, that makes sense. And you'll look up the word Hades, and you go, there it is, they were right. Well, you got a Bible right here. You know what Jesus Christ preached against? Hell. He didn't want you to go to hell. You know where he told the Pharisees they're a generation of vipers? He told them vipers, and he said they were children of the devil. You know why people don't witness the way they used to? Because hell's not real to them anymore. I mean, you can turn on a TV and find anything you want from a preacher. I don't have a TV anymore. We got rid of that garbage box a long time ago. But now you can go to YouTube. It's even worse. You can carry it with you. And you can get on that thing, that stupid phone, and you can go through that thing, and you can find any lie you want to find. And you can find a guy that says, there is no hell. The Baptists are all crazy. There is no eternal security. There is no rapture. Everybody's going through the tribulation. We're going to one judgment, and those people that were good are going this way, and those people, which is what Trump said, by the way. If you're good, you go this way. If you're bad, but it's not the way it works. But you can find anybody, tell you anything you want to tell, want to hear, and then the next thing you know, you can find somebody else that verifies what they just said because they're both lying to you. And the devil's in the middle of that mess. But the preacher said, you know what? My focus is on eternal truth, not worldly treasure. Where's your focus? Look at verse 10. As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the reason of God. You know what Paul said? Sounding off for Christ, ain't going to shut me up. Not only did he say it, but he lived it. He lived it. Stoned, threatened all the time, beaten, shipwrecked. I mean, Paul went through all this stuff. You know what he never quit doing? He never quit bragging on Jesus Christ. You know why? Because Jesus Christ is worthy. You know what Paul knew? Hell's real. Salvation was sure. And he walked with the one that gave him the pass out of hell. He's not going to shut up for anything. We'll get to 11 through 15 here. I'll read down through here a little ways. It says, wherefore, because I love you not, God knoweth. What I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. We see the satanic influences. Again, don't get caught up in the diversions. Satan is really good with propaganda. Right? We look at, you know, China, North Korea, we think propaganda. People don't realize they've been doing that to us in the United States for the last 50 years with the news media. But don't get caught up in that. Here's what you need to understand. The satanic influences are not all on CNN. Amen? The satanic influences are the ones that are pretending to be children of God. Those are the subtle ones. I said that beginning earlier. I don't have an ecumenical bone in my body. I think we ought to unite around the Word of God and unite toward Jesus Christ. I think this country needs to reunite with truth. Amen? I don't have an ecumenical bone in my body. I don't think that the Baptists and the Catholics and the Lutherans and the Muslims and the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons ought to get together and sing Kumbaya and just love each other. I think we ought to stand on truth and not let people die and go to hell at the, you know, at the cost of just getting along. Can't we just all get along? So the subtlety comes from that stuff. You know what Paul said earlier? But though I be rude in speech, yet not knowledge. You know what Paul wasn't? He wasn't pastor in a football stadium full of people going, I just want everybody to be the best you can be. He wasn't doing that. He wasn't coming to him with this great oratory skill that he'd went to years and years of college for, and he learned how to debate, he learned how to do all this stuff, and he was going to try to take his mind to convince your mind of something. He came to you, and he came to them in the power of God with the words of God and gave them the truth. So the people you need to look out for, and I'm not saying we shouldn't pray for the politicians. We should pray for them. I don't pray for them like I should. And sometimes I don't pray what I should pray for them. But I do pray for them, pray for them to get saved. They'd all get saved. This would be a lot better, amen. And their eternity would be a lot better. I don't want Kamala Harris to die and go to hell. I don't agree with anything that she believes that I know of. But I don't want to see her cast into the lake of fire for eternity. Maybe hold her over. No, I'm just kidding. No, I don't want to see anybody die and go to hell. The satanic influences. Another spirit. Do you understand why the charismatic movement grew so big so fast? Because it fed the flesh. Fed the flesh. It's a lot easier on the flesh to feed the flesh than it is to feed the spirit. But they come along, and I'm not saying none of those folks are saved or any of that stuff. Some of them got saved and got messed up in this because that's what the devil does. Somebody gets saved, they try to mess them up on their doctrine and get them to doubt everything so they never do anything for Jesus Christ. But the charismatic movement went on feelings. It felt good, and boy, they wanted to feel good. And then the devil used that to expand, and now we have every charismatic flavor out there. I mean, you got charismatic Catholics, right? They're blending everything together. But this feel-good stuff, walking with Jesus Christ and serving God doesn't always feel good. But you know, it'll always be right. It'll always be right. But the reason they were able to do that and accept that and follow that other spirit, it's a fleshy, carnal spirit. You know what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit? Jesus Christ said when He comes, He'll testify of Me. The Holy Spirit never ran around the Bible saying, look at Me, look at the Holy Spirit, look at the Holy Spirit, look at My gift, send your seed money in. I can heal you through the Benny Hinn means or 700 Club. I can do it through the TV, right? If I could heal you through the TV, I'd be down at the hospital touching the doors and praying. Amen. And I wouldn't be asking you for money. Amen. But the Holy Spirit don't come and say, look at Me, look at Me. The Holy Spirit comes and says, look at Him, look at Him. You see a Spirit-filled person, you're going to know they're Spirit-filled because they're bragging on Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior. Not, look what I can do. I mean, we're impressed, right? I mean, one of the best preachers in the Bible was a donkey. Amen. Balaam's donkey. Look at me, look at me. No, look at him, look at him. The satanic influence and the subtle influence, the subtle distractions, all the subtlety is not of God. It's not of God. And I'm telling you this because if we're not careful when we get older, we want to take the foot off the gas a little bit. And we want things to be a little bit easier. And if we're not careful, we'll compromise for the sake of getting along so the flesh can relax a little bit. It's not time to compromise. It's not time to take your foot off the gas. It's time to put the pedal to the metal and tell people, hell is real. Jesus Christ died for your sins. And sinner, if you'll just call on Him, trust Him, you believe He died, was buried, and rose again, you call on Him, trust Him, you're as good as there already. I had the opportunity yesterday. I know God doesn't need my help, but I kind of set this up. I seen them coming down the sidewalk with their white shirts on. It breaks my heart to see these guys, these elders that are 10 years old or whatever they are. They're being deceived. So I'm out front picking trash up with two tracks in my pocket. I wasn't doing that to deceive them. I was just doing that to be ready. They probably thought, good night. There was two of us and two tracks, but I seen them, to be honest with you. And I'm picking up trash out there, and I said, hey, what are you boys doing? Hey, boys, what are you out doing today? Inviting people to church. You want to come? I said, I don't know. How do you get to heaven? Well, it's through the death of Jesus Christ. I thought, well, that's close. You're getting there. I said, so you trust Jesus Christ, and that's the way to heaven? He goes, well, there's some nuances. I said, well, explain the nuances to me. Well, you got to be baptized. You got to this, you got to that, you got to the other. And I said, you guys believe the King James Bible, right? They don't really. They just use it. They don't really believe it. They believe the Book of Mormon over the Bible. But they said, yeah, we believe it. And the guy goes, yeah, I have salvation through Christ's death, and I have assurance. And I thought, good night, this guy might be a messed up Baptist. I don't know what's going on here. I said, tell me about your assurance. And I said, you're sure you're going to heaven? And he goes, well, I hope so, because there's going to be a judgment of the righteous and the unrighteous, and God's the only one that can know. And I said, well, you just told me you believe the King James Bible. He said, yeah. I said, you know what 1 John 5:13 says? He says, no, I don't think I do. These things have I written you to believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe in the name of the Son of God. That's right in the Bible, the King James Bible. He said, oh, okay. I said, it doesn't say you can wonder or guess or hope for. It says you can know it. I said, think about this. 1 John 5:13 says you can know. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I said, how long is everlasting? And they both go, forever. I said, so if you trust Christ and you get everlasting life, you have it forever. And we got into some heavy discussion on Bible. But they were respectful and they sat there and listened. And one kid said something about it needs to be personal. And the other kid standing there, tears coming out of his eyes. And I said, it needs to be personal. I'm not talking about trusting your church. I'm not talking about trusting what somebody else told you. I'm talking about trusting what the Word of God says. And salvation is personal. Have you personally put all your faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone? And after we talked and they left, and first thing I did was call my wife, hoping that she'd answer right then. And I knew she might be busy doing housework, whatever she's doing. Asked her to pray for those two boys. You say, well, they're out there spreading lies. Well, if they're not saved, they're going to die and go to hell. Right? So Elder, I didn't call him Elder, but his last name or first name was Gilchrist. So pray for him. I forgot the other one's name. I was so focused on this kid that was, you can tell the Lord's working on him. I was all but giving up on witnessing to Jehovah's Witnesses. But stuff like that just makes you want to keep going. I mean, I know where I'm going. And I know why I'm going. And I know who to praise for why I'm going. But wouldn't it be great if we get there and saw those two boys? Say, well, it's because our preacher talked. No, it's because of the Word of God, the Spirit of God, the power of God. God's not worried about getting through their religion. He's perfectly capable of that. If anything would keep God up at night, it's probably His children that won't do what He's called them to do. I say that half jokingly. But the simplicity is in Christ. You know, he's given you eternal life. He's given you his eternal word. He's given you an eternal, he's given you a gospel to offer eternity to people with Jesus Christ. Offer that eternity to them. And all we simply have to do is do it. Do it. I mean, you think about it. Well, reading the Bible's tough. It is. Praying's tough. I know it is. So was walking and riding a bike, but you did it. Right? Learning English, I'm still working on that. So I had to, reading the Bible is like learning a whole new language. I already learned one new language. I didn't have any language. I had to goo goo gaga. Amen? You know why I put the effort out to learn the language? Because when I was hungry, I wanted food. Amen. When I was thirsty, I wanted something to drink. When I got hurt, I wanted somebody to say, hey, it's going to be all right. You know why to read your Bible? You put the effort out. Because spiritually, when you're hungry, you need food. And when you're thirsty, you need water. And when you're injured, you need somebody to say, it's going to be all right. If you're going to stand in these last crazy days of this church age, you're going to have to surrender the will of God. Saturate yourself with the Word of God. And start lifting up the Son of God. I hear people all the time, saved people, say they're born again, saved people. They'll argue about politics. I love Trump, I hate Biden, I love Biden, I hate all this stuff. They'll argue about politics. They'll put their neck out there. They'll make a fool of themselves. But they won't say anything about Jesus Christ. I mean, I'm not the Holy Spirit, but I will tell you this. It's kind of odd that somebody that's saved, that has the Holy Spirit indwelling them, won't brag on the one that saved them. It'll only be one of two things. Either they're lost and on their way to hell, or they're backslid. Amen. Surrender the will of God, saturate yourself with the Word of God, and lift up the Son of God. Amen. And don't leave truth to get along with anybody. Love them and give them the truth, but don't change what you believe unless God shows you in the Bible that you're believing something wrong. Amen.